No one plays the Hammond organ quite like Booker T. Jones. Ever since he was a session player and hitmaker for Stax Records back in the 60s, he's been known for the way he combines a light touch with heavy soul. Booker T. and the MGs were best known for groove-based instrumentals that blended R&B with something new. As an avid and eager, lifelong student of music, Booker was just as interested by classical compositions and jazz artists as he was by rock and roll. Those influences came together in 1970 on the Booker T. and the MGs album called Macklemore Avenue, which has always interested me, perhaps for obvious reasons. The album was a full-length re-recording of the Beatles' final studio album, Abbey Road, and the cover showed the MGs walking across the real Macklemore Avenue, which is where their recording studio in Memphis was located. I wanted to ask Booker T. about his inspiration for such an unusual project.
Okay, well, you're talking Booker T. Jones, the Maverick, at that point in time. I had left my beloved Memphis, Tennessee, and moved to California for multiple reasons, musical reasons as well. And the Beatles, at that point, had had an unbelievable career at the end of 1969. And I rented a house in Beverly Hills, and I put that album on, Abbey Road, and I was just mystified and mortified that they had done such a, what I thought was a huge work and such a courageous work at a time when they had no need to do that. They had proven themselves, they were the biggest act in rock, and they made this incredible music, obviously for the sake of the love of music. So I decided to go back to Memphis, Tennessee, where feelings were not that good about me then, and make a tribute to the Beatles. The reason I called it Macklemore Avenue is because they called theirs Abbey Road, and I just wanted to salute them. I wanted them to feel honored by the album, and I wanted to just recreate the music in our style once more as a tribute.
You say that when you first listened to Abbey Road, you used the words mystified and also you used the word mortified. So explain that one for us.
Well, I feel that the album was underappreciated. Their album was. I thought everyone should have been knocked out by the album. So that's why I was mortified. Because the music business could do that to the Beatles. They could do it anything to anybody. It wasn't music that Memphis Stax Records was ready for. It was an R&B label, you know? I mean, we were saying, who's making love to your old lady? You know, I mean, we were doing, you know, Hip Hugger. We were doing Land of a Thousand Dances, Wilson Pickett. It was that type of label. So this was totally out of character for Stax Records at that time.
So how old were you when you had your first record contract? Was that 17?
That was 17, yeah. And I didn't have a contract, just made the record. The contract came later, yeah.
Well, that must have been amazing for you. I mean, what kind of impact do you think that had on your young adult life?
Well, you know, I was right. I didn't have any foresight at that point. Everything was right in front of my nose. To me, it was, oh, great, I've got a hit. I've got money enough to pay my tuition. You know, I got a check in August just in time to make the payment in September. So it was kind of day-to-day for me, actually. You know, I wasn't looking into the future there.
How much would you say that you were in a leadership role in the MGs, and how much was it democratic?
Well, in that I was so strong-headed, I was in a leadership role. However, the business and the music that the MGs made was quite democratic. Everybody had a say in terms of tempo, rhythm, attitude, funkiness. You know, we were of same like mind that we were going to keep our music simple and that it was going to be accessible and easy and not complicated. We were all together in that.
to achieve that kind of success at that early age, most people would assume that you had a very supportive family life. Tell us what it was like for you.
I was an early father. My son was born in 1964, October 1964. My mother and father were very supportive. I couldn't have done what I did without the support of my father, who drove me from club to club, stayed up late over in West Memphis, Arkansas, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with me and my bass. I was trying to be a bass player. And he lugged me and my friends around town and used up his gas. And he was just extremely supportive. My mother was a piano player and the sole inspiration for my music. I wanted to be able to play like she did. I wanted to be able to feel the music like she did. So the inspiration came from her. So I had huge support in my family.
When did the organ come into the picture? How did that become your musical love?
That was a case of being at the right place at the right time. I heard on the radio Ray Charles playing a Hammond M3 organ, which I found out later was an M3, on the song One Minute Julep, which was produced by Quincy Jones. And I heard that sound and I thought, oh my God, that's the best sound. That's what I would like to do in my life. And I just remember that moment, wanting to be able to make music that sounded like that. And my piano teacher just so happened to have in her dining room a Hammond B3 organ, which I'd seen many times in there, but I never knew that it was an instrument. I thought it was a china cabinet because it was always closed up.
Yeah.
And but then I saw a girl go in there and sit and wait like she was waiting for a lesson. So I asked my teacher what it was, and she opened up the top of it and showed me that it was indeed an organ. Then, seeing that same instrument at Stax Records, I had told them I could play piano. Seeing that same instrument, I offered to play that instrument on William Bell's You Don't Miss Your Water. So that's me playing the organ on that.
Oh, yeah, I know that tune, yeah.
And so that got me started as an organ player there at Stax.
How do you feel about playing Green Onions now? How has that song aged as you've aged?
I love it. It's my favorite piece of it's my favorite record, I'll say. I think we nailed it on the record. We were very lucky to play it that well that day. I keep trying to do it like that. It's a little bit of a challenge, but it's one of my favorite songs.
How many takes did you usually put into producing something like that once you were in the studio?
It varies. I think that was one or two takes, but it varies. Music, that song is deceptively simple.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually sit down and play it with the right groove, at the right tempo, and the right little, influxes on the hand is really hard to do.
What kind of stuff are you going to be playing here in Tucson?
A variety. I still love the original old stuff. Booker T and the MGs, Hip Hugger, that's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
Soul Limbo, can't beat that. When Time Is Tight, it just it still touches me. I still love to play it. But I love my new music. I love the music on the road from Memphis and the Potato Hole album. And I love to tell people about the music that I was involved in behind the scenes, songs that I played maybe piano on, like Otis's Dock of the Bay or Bob Dylan's Knocking on Heaven's Door. I played bass on that song or stuff that I produced that I really love, like Bill Withers' music. And so it's a variety that I do.
So do you like to talk to the audience and do some storytelling?
I do. I didn't used to, but now I find that they appreciate, hearing some of the history and of the music and some of the inspirations for the song, yeah.
Well, it was great hearing some of the background about Macklemore Avenue, and I wonder, when you look back now over that part of your career, do you consider that one of your successes?
I do. Well, music is really to reflect society, and it's just a great medium for entertaining and passing the time. I think to have made their music in a completely different context like that was a great opportunity for me, and like you say, a success.
Booker T. Jones will take the stage at the Tucson Fox Theater on Friday, March 29th at 7:30 p.m. The Fox Theater is an underwriter of Arizona Public Media.